You've got to shoot this bit, Margaret. You've got to shoot it.
Yep. Dave Riding, Laurie Taylor, Billy Morgan.
Woo. They're all Springer. Is that a word? Springer? Springer condition. Is that what I'm going into? I don't know whether I'm ready for that.
I haven't told my wife yet. It encapsulates. No. Is that right? Encapsulates. Yeah. I mean, try saying that when you've had a beer on the Faraday Terrace. So your helmet will be very happy about that.
That's what we should be called, Rob. Rippy when wet.
That'd also be a good name for a band. Adjustable noses.
I'm a little worried about exploring your jokes about German sausages. Hi and welcome to the 21st edition of this season's The White Elf Podcast. I'm Dom Killinger from In The Snow Magazine and I'm with my co-host, as usual, the fabulous Rob Stewart of Ski Press, the person that's probably, you've probably seen more snow this winter than any other season air, Rob.
Oh yeah? Yeah, you're probably right, Dom. Yeah, well, you know, when I'm out at a ski resort talking to people that live there, they just don't get out that much. Nowhere near as much as they should, but no. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm drying out from a camping trip to the Peak District this week. It was slightly harsh. More about that at another podcast episode, because it was really interesting, but it was also the Peak District in the middle of March in a tent. But I am seeing some more snow next week. What about you, Dom?
Yeah, had a little bit of a break here to get some work done, but getting ready for a pretty epic adventure to Canada, as you know. I've probably already bored you about this, Rob, but heading off to Whistler and stopping in at Seattle and then off to Palisades in California. So in the middle of March in North of England, Palisades, Tahoe, Seattle, California. Yeah, I think I got the best end of the stick.
I think so. I mean, it's a fair question. Why would you do that? But that it was an outdoor industry event called And Social, or Outdoor and Social, where brands and retailers get together for product training in the field. I think it's a great idea. Very well organized, well attended, especially considering it was the first one of its kind.
Yeah,
I'd say rather it was in May for me. You know, not only is it just a bit full on still with the ski season, but it's also a bit nippy out there right now. But I know, you know, for the outdoor industry, it's good timing. And you know, they're a hardy bunch. Unlike me, really.
You're supposed to like the cold, Rob. You're supposed to like the cold. We're talking about a ski podcast at the moment. Well, like you say, you're supposed to like the cold, but obviously we're well wrapped up in decent quality clothing when we go skiing, aren't we? And we're probably staying by a nice hotel somewhere, a nice little 3-star hotel in the French Alps. You're not used to being cold in a little tent.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always good to get outdoors, even when the weather isn't perfect, but, you know, hang on, I've been sent to the north of England in the middle of March. Lovely that the Peak District is and all that, but when you're then going to Whistler and Palisades, hang on, and Seattle, home to grunge music, I'm going to add. I do hope you're making something that as well, making something out of that. I'm obviously doing something wrong here. You're off to blimmin' Seattle. I'm in the north of England in a tent.
Smart planning, Rob. Smart planning. That's what it's all about. No, I have to say I'm very much looking forward to it. We haven't been away as a family since New Year because everybody's done their individual trips this year with the kids going off on ski trips and all of that. So, it's going to be a pretty cool trip. Very excited about it, especially as Whistler have had about a meter and a half of snow this week. So hopefully I get the big deep snow and not the lift lines. Yeah, and then the grunge scene in Seattle. Well, I might bump into Dave Grohl. I'll say hello from you, Rob.
Yeah, thanks, Dom. He'll appreciate that, I'm sure. This is a good opportunity to give a shout out to my favorite après-ski band, Revolver Lights. Right?
Oh, brilliant.
They play endless gigs in places like Meribel and Zermatt. Great guys. I saw them in Courchevel recently.
Nice.
And we also see them performing at UK industry events as well, right?
Yeah.
Can you picture the singer, right?
Yeah. I know the guy. Guy with the black hair, the long hair.
That's right.
Longish.
So I was sitting in the campsite this week, and there's a guy sitting opposite me who was the exact doppelganger of him. No. I mean, I'm talking a total replica.
Wow.
I'm like sitting there going, it's the Revolver Lights guy. So I literally had to go up to him and said, have you got a brother in a band? And he went, no.
Oh, wow.
It's really uncanny when you see that sort of thing. And I showed him a photo of the singer, you know, the guy from Revolver Lights. And he was just like, oh my God. It's like he saw a ghost. It was quite funny.
Really?
Anyway, just thought I'd mention that. Sorry, I'm a bit off topic.
A bit like when we're off skiing and everybody thinks I'm skiing with Brad Pitt when I'm with you.
Yeah. Thank goodness this is an audio show, because all I need to do, Dom, is agree with you, right? And everyone will know, now believe that I look like Brad. Okay? So let's just keep that in everyone's mind.
Come on,
we might increase our listeners. Of course, you don't need to be compared to anyone, Dom. You're just Dom.
Well, I remember being on a flight once and all the air hostesses were gathered together giggling and kept pointing at me. And I was thinking, this is a bit weird. I mean, like,
happens a lot. Know,
this is odd. And they generally thought I was Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, yes.
Batman.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I can see that. Yeah,
it must Michael have been, Keaton. I think it was when I was a bit younger. I mean, this is probably about 15 years ago, 14 years ago. And there was a new airline and we were pretty much the only people on the plane. So obviously the focus was on us. But these air hostesses were obsessed with, and they were, you know, they had a copy of OK magazine and they were pilling out these pictures of Michael Keaton and putting them up next to me. It was hilarious.
Really?
So yeah, that's the only one I've had. So that's just, my claim to
just
fame.
A quick shout out to all the Netflix producers or maybe the Lionsgate producers that are listening to the show right now.
Of course.
Just to say, if you need a Brad Pitt and Michael Keaton for your next big blockbuster movie,
yep,
just come to us because we'll fill in and we'll do it for half the price, right?
Half the price, I reckon. And we can ski. And we can ski. So we can do the ski scene and we can be there double, yep. You know?
How cool and is I that? Can probably do some kind of Southern American accent if they want me to do a kind of Brad Pitt type of thing. I can do that. That's okay. I'm there with that. Come on, man. Let's get into my Chevy and head down the road. Go down to a...
As if the image of you, Rob, doesn't quite match the Brad Pitt thing. The accent, I think, possibly kills it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not his real accent, but I mean, I've definitely heard him in movies where he does that sort of Southern drawl type thing. So.
Maybe. Well,
bottle of bourbon in his hand.
If you want to see what Rob really looks like, then head over to the In the Snow YouTube channel and you'll see how much like Brad Pitt he actually is. He'll be there in his full glory.
Yeah. You've just shattered millions of women's dreams, Dom, or you know, maybe some men's too. And actually, on that point, I'm reminded that next week I'm in Teane. Okay. And little did I know that it's Pride Week there.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, could we get any accommodation sorted out? It was very tricky. Fortunately, in the end, we have. But it wasn't easy, actually.
That is going to be some good week of partying there, I can imagine.
Yeah. I think it will be. I shall report back. I'm sure the atmosphere is going to be fantastic in Teane next week.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So, Rob, that is it for this week. We're finished. Heading on to our news section for this week, Rob. What is in the news this week? What have we got?
Yeah, it's a bit of news around. I've seen that Chamonix has opened a new lift on Montenvert. We've been hearing about this for quite a while. If you've skied the Vallée Blanche from the Aiguille de Midi above Chamonix, then it's likely you've taken the gondola up to Montenvert and then the train back down to Chamonix again. I mean, occasionally it's possible to ski all the way back to Chamonix, but even when I first did the Vallée Blanche, just going to say, in 1994, we couldn't do that then. So what we could do, though, is ski to the gondola itself. And that hasn't been possible for years due to the retreat of the glacier.
Mm.
So the resort has built a new lift that starts at the new base of the glacier, so where it's melted down to, meaning no more steps up, big long metal steps to get up to that gondola. It will also improve access to the glacier in the summer. I'm sure the new lift will also be more efficient because the queues could be very long to get down to the glacier in the summer.
Yeah.
So more information on the new lift can be found at Mont Blanc Natural Resort. It's long awaited and it's a good investment, I think, for the resort.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put a link to that in the podcast notes.
Yep.
We've also got learning French and ski packages. So Morzine-based Alpine School French School is giving skiers a chance to learn the local lingo while getting a chance to ski at the same time. So that's very cool. The Learn French and Ski and Snowboard package. So it's a couple of hours of French tuition each day, two to four hours of French tuition each day for 5 days, and then a 6-day ski pass for the Porte du Soleil. So that's a very good idea. It also includes lessons, self-catered apartment, half-board accommodation if you want, at one of the families partnered with the Alpine French Ski School. So yeah, really nice idea. All candidates are evaluated before enrolling, so everyone is placed in a group that's suitable for their level, which is really nice. Make sure you just achieve everything you want to achieve, whether it's be learning to ski and learning to speak French at the same time. I like the setup.
It's a great setup. Yeah, it's a great setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've my daughter's actually joined the summer camp there a couple of times, and it's really good.
Yeah, really nice. We'll put a link to that in the podcast notes as well, alpinefrenchskischool.com.
Alpine.com,
yeah. Yeah.
So what else have we got going on? Yeah, I'm just going to mention the World Cup finals taking place in Saalbach, Austria. The fifth Alpine World Cup hasn't exactly had the smoothest winter season, we could say, with races cancelled because of too much or too little snow. But it's looking good for the World Cup final starting this weekend in the Austrian resort of Saalbach. This is a bit of a test event for the Alpine Skiing World Championships take place in the resort next winter. And the finals, they see both the men and the women reunite together for all of the Alpine disciplines that have been split into technical and speed events over consecutive weekends. Starting this weekend with the slalom and the GS events, and then from next Friday, the Super G and downhills. Yeah. I mean, some of the overall titles are already done, right? They're a done deal, including obviously the incredible Mikaela Shiffrin, who came back from injury last week in Åre, Sweden. She cruised to victory, securing her record-breaking eighth overall slalom title.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean, watching that race was amazing. You know, she just literally smashed it. And then Austria's Manuel Feller has also secured his slalom title early on too. So that's all done. But really excited for this weekend. See all three Brits back in action, of course. Yep. Dave Ryding, Laurie Taylor, Billy Morgan.
Woo.
They're all doing really well right now. Hopefully Charlie Guest can improve her results as well after a bit of a disappointing season for her standards. So let's see. Anyway, Eurosport covering all those races as usual over this weekend and next.
Very good. Love that. So that's it for the news this week. And of course, the thing that we're all waiting for is, what is the weather like? Where is best to ski right now? Brought to you in association with Ski Weekends.
Yes, Dom. So this week's weather roundup is brought to you by Ski Weekends, the flexible ski holiday experts. Choose from 10 fantastic catered chalets and over 100 hotels in 40 resorts. You can stay as long as you like with SkiWeekends.com. Absolutely. Right. Time to look at the overall mountain weather and snow forecast situation as we head into the spring skiing season.
That's it. Spring skiing as we love it. Basically, let's look at the situation because the Alps has an altitude split and lots of snow above 1,800 meters. That's obvious from all the YouTube and social media videos that we see. There's a little natural snow, little natural snow coverage below that. But there's a lot of ski resorts in the Alps where skiing is very, very good. That's absolutely certain. Even the lower altitude towns where their upper runs are in good condition. And in many places, it's possible to still ski all the way down. So thanks to the combination of artificial snow and a bit of snowmaking and that sort of stuff. So yeah, there is definitely some good skiing out there. I've seen a lot of friends and colleagues having a great time in a lot of resorts. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the higher altitude resorts like Tiin obviously have great cover all the way down right now. And in fact, when you look at the snow depths above 2,000 meters, there's definitely more than we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
You know, I think a few years. It's very, very good. And a bit more is forecast this weekend, although we have been hearing about, you know, warmer temperatures now too. I mean, I think it is warming up basically.
Yeah. Yeah, heading into spring. So Italy's had a good run of it too. So that southern side of the Alps and the Western Alps fared pretty well, the best, with the east and the northern side not getting as much. But despite that, there's still generally pretty decent snow conditions for mid-March in Austria and Switzerland too. So it does look like temperatures as we go into next weekend and beyond are starting to look a little bit warmer again, which isn't unusual for this time of the year. And as we head into Easter, so classic spring conditions, which are lovely, let's face it. We all love a bit of spring conditions. So we'll see what happens there. I suspect by the end of the next week and into April, we could end up being a bit of a classic spring season, which I think we'd all love anyway.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's look at some specific resorts across the Alps. Starting in France, I'm going to start with Tiin because I'm there next week. So I thought I might as well check Tiin out.
Yeah.
Snow cover is very good. Slightly warmer temperatures and it's creating some spring skiing conditions right now.
Yeah.
This week is likely to bring more sun with a bit of snow forecast here and there. I don't think significant amounts, but sort of top up snow. Then more sun until the end of the month, when there is a suggestion that colder temperatures will return, bringing more snow at the end of this month. And that's not just Tiin, that's kind of looks like across the Alps.
Oh, that would be fun.
But you know, that's a longer term forecast. I'm looking 2 weeks plus ahead here, but it's suggesting that it's going to get colder. But what about Switzerland, Dom?
So, yeah, in general, it's similar to France with good snow above 1,800 meters, not so much below that, but good spring skiing on the upper slopes with some artificial runs to resort level holding up in places such as Grindelwald, where one run is open to the village. If we look at Engelberg on the northern edge of the Alps, it's similar with good snow up on the mountain, but definitely nothing in town now. They are down to around 1,000 meters there, so as you can imagine. So forecast is similar to France, a bit of snow, about 1,600 meters over the weekend, and then some more sun and some good spring ski conditions, as you would expect.
Yeah. Yeah, right now it's a similar situation in Italy. I mean, they had some great snowfall, but temperatures have warmed up, but there is plenty of snow around. Not much at resort level, you know, or any, depending on, of course, where you are altitude-wise. And again, I think that 1,500 meter level is a pretty good sort of marker for where the snow starts. And we need to remember that above 1,800 meters, there's actually a lot of snow in the Alps. I reckon more than in the last few years. Kormayer in the Aosta Valley is looking good on the mountain. They are forecasting around 25 centimeters of snow on the upper runs over the next few days. Not much below the mid station. And the snow line, again, is around 1,600 to 1,800 meters, where, you know, above that, it's really good.
Very good. Well, on the note of Italy there, I had a message just come through just now from Judith, who is a listener. Okay. Judith is the one that was heading out to Corvara. She must know when we're recording the podcast each week, because she sent it through right now and said, if you're recording a podcast right now, we've had the most fantastic week in Italy. Loads of snow and every condition possible. However, it is like water skiing when you get down to the village with one of those smiley faces. Fabulous picture of Corvara looking very, very glamorous. Beautiful snow condition. Beautiful area. Love that. So very jealous. Lovely. Thank you very much, Judith, for contacting us. And then thinking about Austria, very similar conditions in Austria as well, as you'd expect. Actually, although the valley in places like Kitzbühel are green, there's still great snow cover on the slopes, especially from the mid stations upwards. I mean, pretty decent cover there. If you're based in somewhere like St. Christoph, and you know, you've got full snow coverage in the village, just looking at some pictures there, and plenty of it. So Kitzbühel is snowless in the town, but there's still good snow up on the slopes there as well. Forecast for the next couple of weeks is pretty spring-like, with a bit of snow on the upper slopes over the next few days. So very similar again, above 1,500 meters. Rain below, but it won't be significant amounts. And that snow up high should make things a little tastier up there. So
nice.
What about good. Beyond the Alps?
It is Rob? Good. Yeah, you know, yesterday I was speaking to the guys at Scandinavian Travel, and they reminded me what a great season Norway and Sweden has had. Perhaps not epic amounts of snow, quite a bit, and just consistent. And they certainly haven't had any issues with, like, you know, rain on lower slopes or slopes without snow.
No.
They continue to have good conditions now, and I think Easter will be very, very good in Norway in particular. I mean, looking at Trysil right now in Norway, great snow cover. Really good. More snow this weekend with cold, you know, at least around 0 degrees temperatures for the next couple of weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah, good stuff in Scandinavia. Right, Dom, come on, North America. You're heading there soon. What's the situation like?
Yeah, well, still plenty of winter in Colorado, and Breckenridge is getting topped up pretty nicely. I'm heading to Palisades Tahoe next month, and right now conditions are looking very, very good with powder snow and more falling. The sun will come out over the next week or so, and the temperatures are going to rise. So you can expect some more spring-like conditions there. Is that a word? Springer conditions.
I think we can make that a word.
Springer conditions.
Yeah.
By the end of the month, colder weather again. Crikey, is that what I'm going into? I don't know whether I'm ready for that. More snow is forecast.
We want sun now, don't we?
April could be good. Crikey, I'm going to be out in Palisades as it snows again. I'm just not prepared for that at all. Anyway, I was planning
on. Nice timing.
Yeah.
Nice timing. We do want a bit of sun though, don't we? Especially if we've been hanging around in the UK this winter. Doesn't feel like there's been a lot of that, but nice timing.
Yeah, before that I'm out in Whistler, which is currently, it is spring-like, but they had a big dump in the last 4 or 5 days where they had over a meter and a half this week, so that's looking good. I'm just hoping that hangs on by the time I get there. So
lucky you, Dom. Classic spring skiing mixed with sun and then more snow. I think it's very unlikely people will be traveling to Japan this late in the season, but skiing in the Secco, you know, if you're up that way, they are still getting snow down to lower levels. Yep. And also down in Hakuba, it's a bit more spring-like down there, but some snow is forecast, so decent, even though, you know, for their standards, it hasn't really been an epic season, to be honest. But, you know, it's still very good.
Yeah.
It's still very, very good.
Yeah. Epic in these people's worlds in North America and Japan and Canada. Mm. Very different to our Epic. So, yeah, they have right. large expectations.
They do.
So, well, that's a good little snow roundup this week. Thanks to our partners at Ski Weekends. And yeah, let's find out what it's actually going to be like. You're out in teen, I'm going to be out in North America and Canada. So let's see what it's going to be like. We will report back in a couple of weeks' time on that. On to
certainly will.
What is next? Gear.
Light's gone. I'm going to change these lenses, people.
We haven't got much gear, have we, Rob? Because obviously it's this time of year when there's nobody's creating a new bobble hat at this time of year, are they?
Well, they're not. And you know, in the autumn and through into the early part of the winter, we do get lots and lots of brands launching new products, don't we, for the ski season. We're starting to run out at the moment as we go into the summer. But yeah, I did get something from Valon, the brand Valon. So they've released this vintage style sports sun visor.
Right? Nice.
Finally, a real visor for sun protection. Say Valon, you know, sort of cool retro ski goggle company, right? Born out of Verbier.
Yeah.
But now the 70s retro sun visor, you know, that sort of thing that you might have seen Bjorn Borg wearing at Wimbledon in the 1970s.
Yeah.
It gets a serious upgrade with a UV 365 protection.
Nice.
So that's that vintage style visor that Valon also say it encapsulates. No, is that right? Encapsulates. Yeah.
The fun of the
70s. Yeah. And outdoor sports pursuits.
Amazing. That must be an amazing visor to encapsulate the fun of the 70s. Imagine that all in a visor.
Yes. Put it on and suddenly you're like a Bjorn Borg bouncing around the tennis court. But this is a serious visor. Right? Yeah. This is what it is, featuring a Cat 4 UV 365 rated transparent lens. The visor helps shield the eyes from the sun and glare, paired with a Valon striped towel sweatband, available in three classic colorways.
Apparently. I love it.
It is the ultimate performance lifestyle accessory for 2024. Again, that is Valon's words for their recent press from their press release launching this product. But I mean, well, I'll agree. As spring kicks in, I would say this bit of kit is perfect for a cold beer on the terrace of the Faraday pub.
That's much are we talking, words. Rob?
€65. Check it out at valon.com.
Very.
VALLON.com.
Well, I need to get myself one of those. While we're on the subject of spring skiing and visors, what about a quick run through of sunglasses? We took a very quick look at some of our favorite sunglasses for skiing this spring. Mm. We saw the Block 25X 4900 Category 4, Rob. Only Category 4, you can't believe it. So the new 25 sunglasses are the ideal partner for demanding activities, engineered to enhance performance and provide total protection. So you're wearing those. Very, very nice. We've done a YouTube video on the best sunglasses for spring skiing. So that's the Block 25X4900. What else have we got? The Zeal Incline. Do you know about those, Rob?
Mm. Yeah. The Zeal Incline. It features Zeal's ProFlex rubber inlays on the temple tips and nose bridge to keep them in place on the steepest descents, even. They won't fly off, apparently. While the classic design and keyhole bridge of the sunglasses make it a timeless fit for any adventure, whether wild or refined.
And only, £125. I mean, they are nice glasses. Yeah, yeah. And the other ones, Messy Weekend, Makalu, really nice, £65. Messy Weekend, really nice. They make nice goggles and they make nice sunglasses. They're named after the fifth highest mountain in the world, Makalu. Built to keep up with any sportsman, durable yet light, handcrafted TR90 frame, whatever that means. Quality anti-scratch lens and 100% UVA, UVB protection. And they are £65 as well. Messy Weekend, Makalu.
Yeah, okay.
What else have we got? The Aphex IQ2 8999.
Oh, yeah. The IQ2. Yeah. Bio-based flat plastic frame glasses, right? With polarized lenses.
Yeah.
An heliophobic lens as well. I mean, try saying that when you've had a beer on the Faraday Terrace. Arch frame, expanded field of view, complete UV protections, category 2, UV 400. Helmet compatible. Yeah, so your helmet will be very happy about that.
Yeah,
you're very rubber happy. Nose and temple stay grippy even when wet. I mean,
grippy when wet. That should be a band name, couldn't it? Grippy when wet. Love it. That's what we should be called, Rob. Grippy when wet.
I think an après ski band called Grippy When Wet would actually be very, very good.
I am registering that domain net, grippywhen.com. I mean, how good is that?
Although I think the next term that this FX used for their glasses could also be a good name for a band, Adjustable Noses. I mean, that's a great name for a band, isn't it? Hey, we're the Adjustable Noses. I like that.
That's brilliant.
Ultra fast lens change, photochromic lenses available. That is not a good name for a band.
No. So, moving on is Good Art as well. If you haven't already heard of the brand Good Art, good with an R at the end. Really nice sunglasses as well. They have two styles, one called I Do My Own Stunts and the other one called the Extreme Dumpster. They're around £45, €55. Sunnies for runners, riders and shredders is what they say. So check them out at goodart.co.uk. What else? Amazing. Any other recommendations of sunglasses? There are, what else have we got on here? We've got,
there's so many. I'm just thinking back in the day, you know, when we wore sunglasses on the slopes, there were two choices. You either had a Ray-Ban Wayfarer or a Varney. And you're either a Varney man or a Ray-Ban Wayfarer man, you know, one of the two.
So many choices now. Messy weekend. We talked about there's the MW Speed, £85. There's Sun God make really cool sunglasses. They're really, really nice. So they've got some
very
really
cool
sunglasses out, starting around £70 or £80. So yeah, lots of options there. Head over to our YouTube channel to check out best sunglasses for spring skiing. And you can see all the sunglasses on our fabulous models, including Brad Pitt.
Yes. Oh, God, I forgot that Brad was modeling those sunglasses in Lecluse.
Yeah, Brad Pitt.
Amazing. Check that out. Yeah. Check that out. Fortunately, definitely not with the Southern American accent.
Exactly that. So that's it for our roundup of gear this week. Excellent that. Good sunglasses for spring skiing. What sunglasses am I using for spring skiing? What have I got here, Rob? I have got, the Aphex. What do you think of these?
Now, I'm just going to expand my screen, because obviously our listeners can't see that. Wow.
Yeah.
No, that actually, you pull that off.
I'm rocking that.
If I stuck that on, I would no longer look like Brad Pitt. I could tell you that. I just look like...
I think you look more like Brad Pitt. So this is the Aphex. So?
Well, hiding half of my face. Yeah, probably right.
I think this is the Aphex IQ, I think.
Yeah, it's the IQ.
Yeah. Check out the Aphex IQ. Very cool. And you can see these on YouTube right now.
It's a statement sunglasses, those, that's for sure.
These seem to be everywhere at the moment, these style of sunglasses. And initially,
well, they're good protection. Look at the protection of them. They're almost a ski. It's almost a goggle.
Well, you'll see me rocking these in Whistler, Rob. So that's what's next.
I like the look of them. I mean, they're so big that it is almost a goggle, but you don't have to wear a goggle. So that's the thing that these days I sometimes like wearing sunglasses, but you obviously do get the wind in your eyes, especially when you ski at 85 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Don't do that at
only
home.
85.
I would only do that if,
and look,
if
can you see
anybody around.
And I get a clear lens with it as well. So I've got switch.
No, they're
lenses.
Very smart.
Yeah. So there you go. Impressive. So that's it for our gear roundup this week.
A shout out today to our friends at the Snow Centre Hemel Hempstead, London's closest indoor real snow slope and the largest trainer slope in the country, with a team of highly qualified ski and snowboard instructors running private and group lessons for all ages, a huge 160-metre main slope, family snow fun with the Ringo slide and an alpine-themed bar and restaurant. There is something for everyone. Visit thesnowcentre.com for more.
What are we on to next, Rob?
Our resort focus, Dom, this week.
Spotlight on Carinthia, Rob. How cool is that? Are you covering Carinthia? Because you were in Carinthia just last week. You're going to tell me all about Heiligenblut.
Yeah, I think, Heiligenblut or Heiligenblut. I think you pronounced it pretty spot on there.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. It was my first ski trip there. I mean, I've been a couple of times to the Mulltal or the Mulltal Glacier in the summer, but that was it. Good place.
Tell me what it was like then. So it's located in the region of Austria called Carinthia, and we're running this because you were there, and obviously that's just returned. You can tell us all about it. So what can you say?
Yeah, that's right. I first went to Innerkrems, which is basically a ski touring only destination, then Bad Kleinkaikum, or BKK, as we call it. It's easier. That's a larger ski resort with over 100 kilometers of piste, lots of hotels and infrastructure there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Heiligenblut, I must say, out of those three, probably my favorite, although I did enjoy all three of them, but Heiligenblut is pretty special and unique.
So how do you get, let alone how you say it, but how do you get to Heiligenblut?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the easiest way is with a relatively new flight from London Stansted to Klagenfurt with Ryanair, small city in the southern part of Austria, Carinthia, very close to the border of Slovenia, small airport. We whiz through passport control and baggage in about 15 minutes flat.
Can imagine.
And I must say, it's a very, very scenic airport, you know, a bit like Innsbruck in a way, but a wider valley. So sort of less intense than flying into Innsbruck. And very, very pretty. Very, nice. Very nice.
Okay. Yeah. And then from there, how do you get up to Heiligenblut?
So vehicle transfer from there is the best option. And I'll get sort of to the how-to bit a bit later on. It's about a two-hour drive. Mm-hmm. Lovely scenery, really pretty, up a long valley at the end where right at the end of that valley, you then get to Heiligenblut.
Okay, so not a bad transfer time then. What's the town like?
Not too bad. It's really interesting. I mean, that's the first thing I'll say. So there's a large church that sort of dominates the place, this huge steeple. It's very impressive. And the church was built in the 1400s, but before that, in 914 AD, apparently, according to legend, a Danish prince traveled from Constantinople, obviously Istanbul in today's money, with a small glass filled with not chili sauce, but the blood of Christ.
Ah.
And that bottle is still there today.
Wow.
So the name Heiligenblut actually means holy blood or saint's blood.
Of course. Of course. Wow. Some serious history there then. Did you go to the church to see that?
No. I was too busy skiing powder, but I'll come to that in a bit.
Very disappointing.
Yeah, I know. There's more history because my grandfather, RAF Spitfire Squadron based in Klagenfurt, as the Second World War ended, he came to this valley just after the Second World War and asked one of the locals about this. And he confirmed that the British did turn up there in 1946 and they built a ski lift, you know, just a little bit further back down the valley.
Wow.
And so I think what brought them here was that the area is also very famous for Austria's highest mountain, the Grossglockner, 3,798 meters, which towers over this place like a sentinel. Excuse the obvious term, but it really feels like that.
Wow. Yeah. That is super cool. And so what is the actual town actually like then? So
I'm getting carried away. It's not big. I mean, it's really a village, so pretty quiet. If you want lots of shops and a big après scene, I would just say this place is not for you. Saying that, I found a great little bar called the Dimula, I think it was called, in the lower part of town, about 2 minutes from my hotel. It is a very small bar, but a great bar, lots of fun, you know. You need about six people to create an atmosphere in that place.
Of course.
Not a lot else around, but there's some lovely hotels there, including the four-star Kartnerhof, which is where I stayed.
Nice.
Just that standard of hotel accommodation is really, really high. The food was excellent. It's very much sort of settle into the hotel territory and enjoy relaxing. It's not party central, that's for sure.
Okay, yeah.
The ski lift is located close to the church, right in the center of town, and it's a two-stage gondola that takes you right up into the mountain.
Nice. Sounds cozy. Sort of place you could really get away from it all, sort of like, you know, really chill out and zone out a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And because it's right at the end of this long valley, there's not that much accommodation either.
Okay.
It's pretty quiet. You know, there's plenty of accommodation and really nice accommodation, but it's not like, it's limited.
Yeah.
So you don't get lots of day visitors there. The other thing is that the valley and the village has this sort of cinematic feel about it. I mean, this sort of, I don't know, the weather was a bit like that when we were there. It's kind of dark and foreboding and atmospheric place that you can imagine, you know, a Netflix series about some kind of ancient force that's unleashed from the ground, haunting people's dreams and causes people to go mad. You know, it's that sort of place. It's just like we're in the middle of this crazy sort of Netflix series about, you know, dark forces. I mean, it's just amazing.
I think you're starting to unsell it a bit here, Rob. So
No. It's what I loved about it. It's very atmospheric, sort of almost medieval.
Yeah.
Got to love a bit of that, right? On your ski holiday, surely.
Honestly, that's always what I'm looking for. I'll be disappointed when I get to Seattle if there's no medieval. So,
we're getting
a bit of a feel for the place. It doesn't sound like Maribel. No folly deuces, nothing, no bling, none of that sort of stuff. Probably about as far removed from the likes of Tina Valtorin as you could possibly get.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there's a place for that as well, obviously. Yeah. big place for that. But there's also a place for this too, I think.
Yeah. On to the skiing. So we haven't even got to that yet. What's the skiing like?
Yeah, this is where things get really interesting. It's definitely for the more adventurous skier, I would say, in general. That doesn't mean the terrain is super tough, though. Intermediates will find some really, really nice long red runs that aren't particularly challenging, just nice. Mm-hmm. It's not a huge resort in terms of mileage, about 50 kilometers of marked pistes. The longest run, though, is 10 kilometers. This is pretty long. What it does have is lots of free ride terrain all over the place. I mean, six different zones of free ride terrain, and lots of that can be found within the sort of lift accessed area as well.
Okay.
It's got a really good snow record, and the village is at 1300 meters, which is pretty high for Austria.
Yeah.
And it goes up to 2600 meters as well. Mm-hmm. A big vertical, really an impressive mountain, and one of the hidden gems, you know, you just think exist anymore because we've found them all, right? Yeah. But here is one. Wow. I mean, obviously, there'll be listeners that say, oh, you know, I've been there. I know that place. I don't think that many.
No.
I really don't.
No. And what about beginners? Not for them, really?
I mean, there's two separate ski areas. And let's say there's a main area, and then there's an area called the Fleißalm, which is reached from the middle station of the main gondola via a very unique lift, which I'd describe as a cross between a cable car and a gondola.
Okay.
So the gondolas each take around five, six people, I think, and they are strung together in one long row. They leave at the same time and go through a tunnel straight away. On a cable, which takes around 5 minutes and pops out the other side. I mean, it's a really odd one, but it works. But on the other side of that gondola, there is a nice learner's slope and a long blue run from the top of that chairlift. But I wouldn't say, you know, it's the number one ski resort for beginners. For me, it's the mix of really long runs and the off-piste terrain. That's the draw, plus the scenery and the fact that it's such a cool sort of mountain destination with, you know, really comfortable accommodation thrown in as well.
Sounds very interesting. What about food and drink? Typical Austrian stuff?
Yeah, totally. Very traditional. But I must say, great quality. And actually, things have sort of changed a bit as well. You know, there's a good choice. It's not all schnitzel. I don't quite like that. But, you know, it's not all about that. I mean, a few highlights. You know, goulash is great. You know, it's not like the Hungarian soup, although they do that here as well. But the Austrian goulash, larger chunks of meat in a sort of thick sauce. And then, of course, the Kaiserspätzle, which is a kind of noodle dish covered in butter and cheese with fried onions. I mean, you get burgers and really good burgers. You know, I had quite a bit of local fish, which is fantastic, like a lake fish that they get out of the lakes in Carinthia. I had some risotto and, of course, bratwurst, you know, the famous German sausage.
Yeah.
Dom, do you know the jokes? Do you know the jokes about dirt? You do know the jokes about dirt German sausages, right?
I'm a little worried about exploring your jokes about German sausages, Rob.
Nah, no, that's good because they are the worst.
So bad.
Yes.
It does sound like the food is good. And not only the meat and cheese that we normally get then. So what about prices? What's it like price-wise?
Yep, great value, actually. I mean, a meal on the mountain, you know, for 10 to 15 euro, and you could definitely get cheaper than that as well. Like, you know, goulash soup with bread, about 5 to 6 euros for that.
Okay.
They like beer, you know, in Austria. It's mainly lager, but I did find a few Dunkels, which is a dark beer. It could be lovely. Austrian wine is actually really good, and they don't grow that much locally there, but, you know, any of the Austrian wine we had was excellent.
Wow. Mm. So how can we get there next season? Where do we stay? What's the direction there?
Yeah, so tour operator FlexiSki is opening the resort up next season, so it's best to visit their website, flexiski.com, and maybe give them a call. And just have a chat to them because they know the area. Like I said, you can fly directly into Klagenfurt, but Ljubljana in Slovenia is also a good option. It's really close, actually. Yeah. Salzburg can also work as well. And that combination means that short breaks are doable. You know, you can fly in one place and out the other place if the flights don't work out. It's pretty easy to do that, and FlexiSki can help with the transfers and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They also operate in a couple of hotels, including the one that I stayed in, which is a good value for money, 4-star. Mm-hmm. Really good.
Mm. Sounds interesting. Yeah. Maybe one for next season.
Yeah. I mean, keep checking because there's going to be various trips and off-piste courses planned there too. And I really think this place could become one of the new free ride spots. You know, think Fieberbrunn, maybe, Alanya, that kind of secret spot that those places have become well known.
But, yeah. Very good. How interesting, Rob. That's nice to bring to the table a place that maybe is not on all of our radar there. So Carinthia it is.
Yep.
I like it. I like the sound of it.
Yep.
So, Rob, for our bucket list episode this week, we're not even going to do a bucket list destination this week because we've got such a good one for next week. Tell us what we're going to be doing next week, Rob. What's in our special episode, bucket episode next week?
Well, the bucket list destination next week is genuinely one for me, and that is Alaska.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a whole state of America, obviously.
I love it. And did you go?
I have not been there, so it is on my list, on my genuine bucket list to get to Alaska one day. So, what about you, Dom?
No, I've not been. It's definitely on my bucket list, and especially as I know you were talking to the legendary Dan Egan this week, who's just come back from there, and about the fabulous adventures that even somebody like him, who has been probably pretty much to the ends of the earth to find the best snow.
Oh, yeah.
Is still talking in such a passionate fashion about how incredible Alaska is, and absolutely talk about whet your appetite, absolutely desperately making you want to go and ski these, you know, completely let alone untracked, but untouched powder fields, really. And it's just incredible to hear, isn't it?
It is really amazing. And what I liked about what Dan said to me in this interview that we're going to broadcast next week is, you actually don't think that you cannot go to Alaska. You know, you don't have to be some kind of high-end professional freeride skier to handle heli skiing in Alaska. You can go there and you can enjoy it. You need to have some skiing ability, obviously. You need to be able to ski off-piste. Let's say, you know, you go skiing off-piste in the Alps with a mountain guide or an instructor. You're doing some of those courses, you know, you may be on a Snowworks course or a Robin Smith course or something like that. You do need to be at that ability level to get the most out of it. If you turn up and all you've done is a red run and, you know, you've never skied off piste before, you're going to get yourself into a bit of a sticky situation. But there's lots of people out there that are good enough to go heli skiing in Alaska, and you're not going to get thrown out the helicopter on a 50 degree mountain full of spines where, you know, one fall and you die kind of stuff. It isn't like that.
Well, it's certainly an engaging listen, and it's incredible to hear someone with that amount of passion. And I'm looking forward to seeing some of the video associated with that. So that's a great episode next week coming up, our friends. So this is in a week's time, 22nd of March. Definitely one for our bucket list. So very good. Thanks for this week, Rob. A fantastic and interesting week of Carinthia. And listeners, don't forget to leave us a review. It's how other people find our fabulous podcast. And until next week, when I'll be, it's not long now before I fly out. I'm getting quite excited, Rob. So you'll be out in teen. I'm heading out to Seattle and then Whistler and Vancouver and then straight out to Palisades after that while you're hanging out in team. I don't know who's got the best deal here. Check out the description as well, because we've got plenty of web links in there, and check out the YouTube channel where all the ski test videos are now going live. And if you want to see that sunglasses feature, you can see that too. And Rob, it's from Batman to Brad Pitt. Have a good few days.
See you later.
Adios.
Cheers.
Meno, toki-woki.
Pretty sure it's called a walkie-talkie, mate.